And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints Head Coach Callum Moore. I'm Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, joining us from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore, first game, tough loss all the way, literally, until the very last second. Emotions always raw after the game. You know, the game is kind of in your head, but you've had, you know, probably a few times to look through the tape today. Impressions now that you've seen it a couple of times?
Yeah, it was just a great battle. It was a great game. You know, felt like we had our opportunities, and that's all you can ask for. You can put yourself in a really good position to win the game and have a chance at the end of the football game, and we didn't make enough plays as we went down the stretch. And so, you know, a lot of stuff led up to that moment. There's a lot of opportunities throughout that game for four quarters. We got to play a cleaner game. We got to clean some things up. But I love the way our guys battled. I love the energy. I love the juice. If our guys play like that each and every week, we're going to be winning a bunch of games.
Coach Moore, it seems like just observing and watching training camps and, you know, preseason games and, you know, you can move the football, but the red zone efficiency, when you get down there, you can't obviously not turn over the football, but you can't be settling for field goals. That's something that, you know, the best team you're going to get, if you can get 50%, 60%, you know, that's something I know you can't be pleased with, being only one of four in the red zone. And if you're going to win games in the NFL, you know, you got to turn those into touchdowns, because we are moving the football, but not being able to, you know, score enough points with obviously getting touchdowns.
No doubt. Completely agree. I think, you know, red zone football is so critical to winning and losing in these games. And this game's really tight, and it comes down to critical situational football. And so whether it's red zone, third downs, you know, our defense had a few third and longs that we were right in great position to get them to punt, and, you know, we weren't able to knock it down. And so, you know, a lot of situationals come up that, you know, we got to get better at.
You know, speaking of situational football, Coach, are you a two-for-one coach as far as clock management? What I mean by that, you know, you win the toss, you defer, and then to close out the first half, and then, you know, you have the opening possession. I don't know if it's the right word, stealing a possession, but stealing a score, an opportunity, you know, a two-for-one. But what is the strategy going into that? Because, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, and a number of fans, they want to know, well, it looks like the Cardinals for sure was going to score. So why we went into the locker room with all those three timeouts where whether they kick in a field goal or scoring a touchdown, it seems like we could have had around a minute, a little bit more. So even if we don't have good field position, we could still be more aggressive in trying to get at least into scoring range before half range.
Yeah, no doubt. That's totally fair. I think, you know, you're always looking for two-for-one opportunities. I think that's an important opportunity in the middle of the game. And so, you know, it was a difficult decision as you go through that. It felt like, you know, us getting the ball in the second half, they still had all three timeouts. And, you know, so they could have flipped that thing around a little bit. And so, you know, certainly I can see ourselves banging timeouts a lot of times in those situations. Felt like we were in a good position. We were still in a one-score game. We had the ball coming out of it. And, you know, we didn't take advantage of that opportunity.
Coach, you've seen, obviously, many times today, and from an execution standpoint, the Spencer pass to Juwan Johnson, that if not for Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker, I mean, that's how you draw it up, right? I mean, it's exactly the throw you want made. Juwan did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I thought we gave ourselves a chance. Essentially, we had three plays, three shots in the end zone at that point. Once we clocked it, we knew we had three shots, you know, and we just weren't able to finish it. And we were really, really close on that one. You know, I thought it was, you know, with the limited time that you had to make a quick decision. We were close on it, you know. Obviously, Juwan was able to make the initial catch, and they did an excellent job of attacking the football all the way through, you know, the contact to the ground.
You know, Kellen, we were doing the post-game show, and I always say, I don't know, Alvin Kamara to me is our most explosive player. And whenever you're in the conversation with the Derrick Henrys, not different body type, or Christian McCaffrey and all, I say he needs more touches. Is that a game plan? The game plan I'm looking at, 13 touches. He had 57 total yards in scrimmage, where I said we need to double that. He needs to have about 114. I can remember when we really rolling offensively, he's about 125, 130, and he's had games over 150. But having 13 touches, that's something maybe that I know it's a long season, but having like 20 touches plus. I mean, so let's say he had 13 touches. I had 10 more. I don't know. He has 23 touches. Because I'm looking at that 18, that touchdown run he had. He was hitting and getting it. So I don't know. Look, and I want Kendrick Miller to contribute, Devin Neal, all of them. But I know I trust Alvin Kamara with his hands on the ball more.
Yep, no doubt. Alvin's a special player for us. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. And, you know, the way that game went down, we weren't able to play in mixed downs as well as we could have because of the, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. Penalties, putting ourselves in second and longs, not able to play rundowns as many times as we'd like. And so, you know, we definitely want to give him more opportunities.
You know, Coach, in another area, I talk about red zone, and then, like, third down efficiency. You know that can't be 30-some percent. That's not winning football. You can't control the ebb and flow of a game or the time of possession. And I'm looking at one reason why they had the ball basically 7.5 minutes more because you're behind the sticks because of the penalties, and then you're not converting on third down. I mean, that and the same that it worked out when we went tempo. Looking with Rattler, we had the Cardinals on their heels. He was 13 of 16, like, what, 115 yards? With it, but then you can't have a damn penalty when now it's we had a good play, but it's like whatever, a first and 15 or a second and double digits. But I know you're addressing that with the team, and that we have to grow from that going forward.
Yep, a lot of growth opportunities for our guys, and so you know, by no means was it good enough. We want to win football games. We want to play better. I'm really excited about the way our guys are going to respond to this. And so, you know, the situational football is going to be a big point of emphasis. The clean operation is going to be a clean point of emphasis. And we got to put ourselves in a better situation because I know we can.
Coach, I agree with Bobby. I think the up-tempo, you know, really kind of favored into Spencer's kind of hand. But did it play – because they also went up-tempo a lot. They also had 9 penalties. That's 22 penalties between both teams. Does tempo sometimes play a role in that?
It can potentially. You know, they called that game really tight, and I think, you know, I think it was consistent. They called a lot. They called the procedural thing really, really tight. Our guys got to be really, really dialed, and so we put a lot of time and emphasis into that all off season. And so, you know, it was a frustrating thing, I think, for everyone on offense in particular, and, you know, a couple on defense, a couple on special teams. You know, it's a big-time growth opportunity for our guys, and I think our guys will respond really well this week because if we clean up that, you know, the tempo operation had a lot of success.
Need to take a break. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert. We are talking with Saints head coach Kellen Moore as they get ready for San Francisco. The 49ers coming to Caesars Superdome on Sunday. This is The Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is The Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And you always like teaching moments after a victory. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Can you talk about Kool-Aid McKinstry? I thought he made some really excellent plays, and I thought there were also some teachable moments. When you're guarding Marvin Harrison, you get some of those 45 yards where he wasn't like he was out of position, but maybe it's sometimes it's just get your head around, right? I mean, were there some teachable moments for Kool-Aid?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've talked a lot about Kool-Aid. We feel so good about him and the progress he's made, and he's going to play some tough downs in this league. He's going to play against some of the best, and we're, you know, he's going to have those one-on-one opportunities. And so we feel like he's going to win more than he loses. And so he's just got to respond the right way. There's certainly, you know, he's close right there. He's attacking the football all the way through the catch. You know, and I think we're really, really close on that play. And I think that was the big thing about our defense was there's so much good, and then they have a really long pass, and then they have a really long run. And those are two of the biggest plays in the game that kind of, you know, put them in favor.
Yeah, Coach Moore, along those lines, you talk about explosive plays. And I know you never want to look into last year, but the Saints fans, you know, we look at a year ago, allowed those type of games. Man, we played overall seems like good defense then when you give up 45 and 52 yards. What ends up happening, you know, like the cat and mouse game, you flip the field, and then it sets up, and the Cardinals actually got scores because of those big chunk plays, those explosive plays. So just as a defense, I know Brandon Staley's definitely emphasizing that. Now, you want to get those plays, but don't give those up.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, we talk so much about turnover margin, right? That's the big thing that everyone talks about. But explosive plays is right there with turnover margin. And so you don't get to say, take those explosive plays out and say, hey, we played great run defense and great pass defense. They all count. They all count the same. That's such an impactful plays within these games.
Now, Coach Moore, you brought up the turnover margin. And, you know, obviously we want to protect the football and we want to take it away. And I think I've heard DeMario Davis or like Cam Jordan is saying that, you know, you want to play that perfect game. You're always striving for that as a defensive unit. And I'm sure Brandon Staley has challenged the defense that we got to take it away. You know, it's good that we're protecting it, but we have to be opportunistic in taking that football away. Whether it's, I'm not saying pick six or scoop and score, but whether you're punching it out or just getting the interception and changing the momentum that way. And we all know the numbers. You look, just by being plus one, plus two, you should never lose to me if you're plus two in the turnover. But even plus one can make a big difference if you're winning or losing.
No question. It's something, you know, we've spent a lot of time investing time in. And so I felt like our guys were close. I did really love the way our guys were attacking the football in the run game. You know, our second, third guy in, they were attacking the football. Weren't able to get any out. We just got to keep hammering at it. And eventually the pass game perspective, you know, we get them behind the sticks and we got some opportunities with the ball in the air. We got a chance to go get some.
Coach, it stayed a one-score game that enabled the possibility towards the end, partly in part because of the block by Brian Brzee on the 46-yard field goal of Chad Ryland in the fourth quarter. Now, we've seen it. Happened in week 14 against the Giants to preserve the win. Can you kind of talk about that play? Because it's you don't see it very often because if I'm right, he can't touch anybody. He can leap,
yeah,
but he can't lay a finger, a shoelace on anybody. Talk about that play and really just kind of the difficulty in the execution of it.
Yeah, I think one really cool example is the way our guys rushed the field goal and the extra points all game led to that opportunity, and that our guys were really, you know, pushing back, getting some stress in the field goal protection team. And then it was really good, I think, just example of communication with Phil and Brzee, kind of their communication saying, hey, we think we got a shot here. We got an opportunity. If it presents itself, we can take a chance here. And obviously they were in a long yard situation. And so we felt like there is some risk associated with it, but we felt like it was worth it. Take a shot there. And, you know, just phenomenal execution. You know, I think Godchow and Shep are a part of that, the way they rush on, you know, next to him. And so, you know, it was a really good combination of everyone working together.
You know, Kellen, when I look at this, boy, you want your veterans to lead by example. Sometimes that's the best leadership, where you actually are walking the talk. And looking at Cam Jordan taking advantage of opportunity, now I think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But with Chase Young being out, boy, he was outstanding. You look, a sack and a half, two tackles for loss, two quarterback hurries, a pass defense, and then also Carl Granderson. And you got to think about this. Now, Carl, I remember he was telling me in training camp, you know, when I was in Sacramento in high school, I played linebacker. He goes, I can do this. Well, he didn't look out of position. You think under Brandon Staley's system that, boy, Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson really took advantage of the opportunity. Like, he had Granderson had a sack and a half, a tackle for loss, quarterback hurry, two passes defended, along with Double D, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis, number one ranked linebacker in the whole NFL as far as run support. He didn't look like no old man to me. You know, I said, oh, he's in his 30s, 36. No. Might say, you know, fans say, I want a young guy playing. Why? The young guy ain't better than DeMario Davis? What are you talking about? But just talk about those three veterans and what they did defensively yesterday.
Yeah, three guys who definitely had an impact on the game. Cam from the start, you know, his play recognition, the sack was, you know, purely his high football IQ, recognizing the play and reacting. And so, you know, Carl just seems like Carl's around the football at all times. He's just running around, you know, even on the long run, you know, he runs the running back down. You know, he's an edge rusher on the opposite side of the field, and he chases the guy down, you know, and makes that, you know, potential 4-point play stop, puts him in a field goal situation. And so, and then DeMario's physicality, his play style is just what we all want, you know, and if everyone plays like DeMario, we're going to be just fine. And so he did an excellent job throughout the game of just playing fast, physical, hitting the point of attack in the run game. It was a really good performance by those guys.
Coach, I don't know that I've heard, and the news is out, Julian Blackman with the injury, plays the game, right? Every defensive snap, goes to the locker room, goes home, shoulders, obviously bothering him. I'm sure his whole body is bothering him, but it looks like it's going to be a torn labrum, so maybe surgery. Who knows? But, could be season-ending. But you talked this afternoon, that's about the kind of the emotions and a lot of things, going through your body, but have a guy go home and then go, hey, man, I think I got a season-ending injury.
Yeah, it's a unique one. I mean, Bobby, you know how adrenaline works in this game, and so your body kind of, you're coming off of these games, your body naturally feels a little bit sore, but there's adrenaline pumping through you, and so, as you go through it, usually soreness starts kicking in, but for it to be this severe of an injury, obviously it's unfortunate for Julian just because, we're so excited to be able to onboard him late in the process. He did an awesome job during training camp, the way him and Justin were working in tandem on the backside of that thing, in the back end. I thought they did some really good stuff.
Need to take another break. You are listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We'll turn our attention a little bit towards San Francisco when we come back. Again, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Now moving on to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service. San Francisco comes to town, so you got to watch, really, when you're watching film, you get to watch your next two opponents. San Francisco played at Seattle, and kind of, maybe this is where, teams that you want to, where you want to be, right? San Fran had, Purdy had two picks, kicker Jake Moody had a rough day, George Kittle left with a hamstring, yet they found a way somehow, as ugly as it was, to come out and get a victory, right? I mean, that's what you want to be. If you're not play your best, but, man, you got a team that they just know and find a way to win coming into your building next Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, it just shows the margins that all these NFL games are played in. They played it all the way to the end. Seattle had a great opportunity right towards the end, similar to our situation. And, for San Francisco's sake, they were able to score. And then when they got down there, Nick Bosa made a big-time play. He made a strip fumble turnover to ultimately seal the game. And so, these guys are going to be a challenge.
Now, Coach Moore, how pleased you were looking at the special teams. I'm looking at Kroger punting. I mean, net, I would take 43 net any day of the week. I think that'll be amongst the best when all said and done. Now, obviously you got to, inside the 20 and all that, and you would never want to outkick your coverage, but averaging 50.5, but you have to look at the net. And I saw that 43, that's winning football from that punting position. And then you look at Kendrick Miller. We kind of think of him just as a running back, but look how, flipping the field and field position at 43-yard kick return. I think Kendrick Miller might break one and have a great opportunity to score a touchdown that way. We all know Rashid Shaheed can take a punt return to the house. But when you looked at the special team units, how would you say you fared? And obviously, I know, come on. As much as we love him, Blake Gruber got to make that kick. That's like an extra point. And he made everything in training camp, but now you got to make it in the regular season game. So kind of a mixed bag when I look at the special teams, because points are so precious. And then for us to not make that kick, because, we take it for granted. You turn your head, but he missed it? What? And you think he's going to be automatic. But just break down the whole return game and the kicking game of what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of good. We did have some missed opportunities, like you said. I thought Kai punted it really, really well. I thought our punt unit as a group, protection, execution downfield, we had one where we allowed them to, get out in space and get a good return. Outside of that, though, I thought Kai did an awesome job. Thought, our gunners, put us in good position, got it down there, forced some fair catches. And so there's a lot of positives with that. From a kickoff perspective, I think our first kickoff of the game, I thought was a great example setting the tone. Started at the 21-yard line. I thought our guys did an excellent job, Kendre, like you said, he was close. You know, I think the guy got his foot. If he doesn't get his foot, he might be gone. And so, you know, we feel like he's really close. He's going to get one of these really soon. And so, you know, and then the points, you know, we had a missed op. And everyone knows that. And we got to take advantage of every opportunity we have to put points on the board and put ourselves in position to win them.
You know, Coach Moore, that's one thing. The Saints fans, who in that nation we take for granted, because we've always been for sure top five, if not top three on special teams. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I remember when the Saints got rid of Chris Banjo. I'm like, what? This guy's a stud on special teams. Why are we getting rid of him? And then he ended up going to the Cardinals. Now I think he's coaching with the Broncos and Sean Payton, that being Chris Banjo. Yep. Then look at JT Gray. Now an opportunity with him with the Ravens, and he was all pro. Is this a fair assessment? Because I'm a fan of his. He's kind of that tweener. He'd be a small linebacker, but a big safety. Stallbird. I mean, he ended up leading the team with two special teams tackles. Does he have that kind of ability when all said and done? I know, like, in that one, I think the first preseason game, he might have had four special teams tackles, which is outstanding. So what is your take on him? And explain maybe to fans, because a lot of fans who that we like JT Gray, because he may have had that kind of impact. And because he's not just a Pro Bowl, he was all pro.
Yeah, no doubt. No, we love JT, and obviously he's had a tremendous career. And that was arguably the toughest, roster transaction over the last week that we had to do. And there's, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Just with the roster flexibility and roster management, we felt like it was the best decision for us. Certainly with guys like Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah, I think, is a tremendous special teams player. I mean, his impact since the first preseason game all the way, through yesterday, like, he's going to have an impact on each and every game from a special teams perspective. And we feel like we're getting contributions from a number of guys. You know, I think, with Valus, as a special teams guy, Sanker obviously has made some plays. That linebacker unit is giving us some really good work there. And so, we feel like we got some guys who are going to help contribute, and, the standard's still the standard, and we're going to have a high impact there on special teams.
And just giving some guys some time, right? Vele, you just got him, right? I mean, Awesome Richards on August 26th, Luke Fortner, a lot of these guys who played yesterday, if it's Vele, he had three touchdowns in 24, all inside the red zone. I mean, give him some time. You know, these guys are going to grow. They just got here.
Yeah, we made some moves as the season got near, and so, it felt like those are going to help our team as the season progresses. Certainly, those guys' opportunities, there's probably a decent chance their opportunities increase as they go, and so, it's about acclimation now and getting those guys ready to contribute in really meaningful ways.
Well, we'll learn a lot more Wednesday. Obviously, the Niners have some injury situations, and then we'll learn more about the Saints situation. We appreciate your time. Best of luck against San Francisco, and go get them and get back to 500.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and I will be talking with defensive line coach Bo Davis. He played at LSU under Mike Archer and Curly Hallman, and now he is the Saints defensive line coach, coached at LSU as well. So we'll talk with Saints assistant Bo Davis when we return here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Bobby at the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. I'm in studio, and joining us now is the defensive line coach, Bo Davis. Jay Rogers coaches the edges. Bo Davis coaches the interior, played at LSU, coached at LSU in 24. How are you? I know you wanted a victory yesterday, Coach, but how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing well. So you've had a chance to see it again, really kind of dive into the tape from yesterday. Give us your thoughts, high points, low points.
Well, I mean, I thought the guys played really hard. I mean, they really got after it. I thought they competed, and, it was a lot of great, great, great things that we learned from this tape and that we're going to build on. And so we're just going to keep working and keep getting better at what we're doing.
Now, Bo, when you're looking at, they got to do all the dirty work, and you part of the one that helps motivate them, but they should be self-motivated if you truly are pro's pro. But, Godshaw might be the one we're all familiar with, but I thought Nate Shepard was outstanding yesterday. and Israel. Just about when you looked at breaking down the film. And, you know, we're familiar with him, but he's kind of quiet, didn't really want to talk to the media or nothing. But I thought Shepard was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, Shepard, man, is playing at a real high level. Right now he's really doing a great job. I mean, you know, he's playing really good right now. And we like where he's at right now. He's doing a lot of good things, pushing the pocket, you know, and being violent at the point of attack.
Now, Coach, how does that work? Because you have to be ready when called upon, whether you're on the practice squad, you could be active or not. But what is your role as far as, let's say you conduct in a practice, and it might be scout team defense, you're trying to give a good look for Koziah and then Easton Kitty. Here you got two rookies, one from Penn State, and then you look at now the offensive tackle from Kansas State. But how do you coach young guys like that and keep them motivated? You just tell them, hey, you want to be a pro? This is like your game day during the week or what?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it of it is you know, every day you're competing. And their motivation at this is not like college. You know, you study the game every day, but, you know, it's like you get guys, they understand their roles, and they come in and do their roles. And you know, they keep getting better every day until their number's called. I mean, and you talk to them and you support them and you continue to help them grow and get and, you know, and become better football players.
Same thing with kind of Christian Boyd. I mean, yesterday Christian and Vernon were inactive, and Coach Moore said, you know, sometimes it's a numbers thing. It doesn't necessarily mean a lot. But Christian Boyd had probably, you know, an excellent training camp, couple of sacks. Have you kind of seen his development and his growth push forward?
Oh, yes, tremendously. You know, from OTAs through the whole thing. I mean, I've seen him grow and grow and grow. And, you know, just like Coach Keller said, it's all about numbers. And, you know, we want to do the things that we got to do to get the best players on the field.
Now, Coach Davis, look at last year. And I think the Houdat Nation and fan base, they look at, boy, Brian Brzee could become that complete defensive lineman if he plays better against the run. Look, from the interior, amongst the best in the NFL, 7.5 sacks. It seems like we know he always could do that, whether his technique a little high maybe, and get knocked off the ball and run support. But where do you think Brian Brzee's at right now? He comes up with a very athletic play, and he blocks the field goal. You know, he had two total tackles, one unassisted. But where is he at? Because that's what the fans are more concerned with, because we know he can rush the passer. But as far as his run responsibilities, run defense.
I think, you know, Brian is really in a good place right now. I think that's one of the things that he attacked in the off season, and he wanted to make his game complete. And we really, really went at it. And I think right now where he's at right now, he's steady developing, steady getting better at it. And, you know, the one thing about him of it is he loves the challenge of trying to get better at something, and he's really working at it. And I think right now he's sitting in a good place right now. We just got to keep working, keep getting better at it.
Now, Coach Davis, we talked to him during training camp in California. This was kind of fun. He comes up to the podium with no shirt, and I'm not saying he was chiseled, but he was confident in that being Ridgeway. And while you and him, you had some stories going way back with Coach Davis, talk about recruiting and all that. We got him in the trade from the Commanders from Washington. But Ridgeway, now he's on IR, but boy, it seems like you and him had a relationship going way back. When can you convince him to come to your school, or he goes somewhere else? But he said, "Yeah, I hope Coach Davis wants to keep me."
No, I love Ridgeway, man. He's a funny guy, man, and I love having him in the room. You know, he always brings a presence when he comes in there, and you know, I recruited him, you know, when he was in college, and so. We kind of had a good relationship started then, but I really love having him here. I think he's a good, he's developing into another player that that will be able to help us down the road.
Probably nobody other than yourself would have such a inside knowledge on two of the draft picks, so it's kind of separate. One, Vernon Broughton. So you were at Texas 21-23. He played basketball really till his sophomore year in high school. So, you know, not new, but, you know, certainly from a high school standpoint, but 21, 22, 23. And then I want to ask you about Kelvin Banks, because same thing. Tell me what you saw in Vernon Broughton, you know, as you came to this job, that you knew he was a guy that you wanted on your team.
I mean, just, you know, with Vernon, the growth that he had from when I got to Texas with him, and I knew he had the upsize. Just coaching him, you know, I could play him in various places. It didn't bother him. You know, he's kind of one of those flex players that you can move around. And, you know, I just saw how, you know, his length, the size he was, and, you know, he could strike blocks and play with his hands. And the thing about him is the basketball really helped his athletic ability. And you can see the guy in pass rush, he can bend. And you wouldn't think it with a big guy like that with small ankles like that. But that's why I always called him chicken legs, because, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, he's got quickness and he's slippery. And I used to tell him all the time, I says, nothing can do that but a chicken. You know, when you try to catch him, you can't really catch him because they're moving around. And I said, you bite like a chicken.
Well, you know, Coach, that's going to stick. You got to watch those kind of nicknames, man. They stick like that. You know what I mean? Kelvin Banks, though, so he's a guy that you had to defend every day in practice. You're looking at Kelvin Banks. And I'm sure, you know, you are somebody they went to in a, you know, draft night. And, you know, tell me about his progression.
I mean, Kelvin was, you know, as Kelvin growing up, you know, there in near Summer Creek. And, you know, I got a chance to see him when he was younger. And the thing with Kelvin was, he's just super athletic. You know, that was the thing about him. And, you know, you saw it when he was in high school, how well he moved on the field and his athletic ability, you know, with playing basketball as well. But, you know, when he got to college, I had to go against him every day, one-on-one pass rush. And, you know, he was just, you know, we really didn't have anybody that could really beat the guy on the corner, because he was so fluent the way he moved and the way he could go back and catch his balance when one get the bull rush at him. He could get his balance, get his hands in the right place. But just seeing the athletic ability of this guy, just, I mean, you saw it and you knew this guy was going to be a good football player and have a chance to play on Sundays.
Now, Coach Davis, when you look at all the football that you've witnessed, you know, you got quarterback on obviously on the offensive side of the ball, quarterback on the defensive side. Usually that's the linebacker, the player with the dot on his helmet. He's communicating to all the players. What is your impression as you got to know him? He ain't playing like no 36-year-old double D, DeMario Davis. That guy plays a lot of fire. Arkansas State, Jonesboro, Mississippi boy, find you wherever you at. And DeMario Davis, he's like a fine wine. He just seems like he's getting better with age.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that guy is just a total impact player. I mean, he brings energy every day. You look at him, you don't look at him as a guy that's been playing as long as he's been playing. But, I mean, he's got passion. He's got juice every day. He brings it to the squad. And you know, the guys rally around him. And, but, you know, just being in the guys being around him, being how he is every day. And you walk downstairs, you see him studying the game, because, you know, I'll stick my head in every now and then. He's in the linebacker room studying, trying to get, you know, get ahead on tips and everything. He brings it every day. He's a pleasure to be around, and just the energy that he brings to the group is so impactful.
Coach, you got San Francisco coming to town. We'll know a lot about the injury situation. Brock Purdy maybe has a turf toe. Not sure. You know, both teams, nothing to learn until we really find out on Wednesday. So you prepared for Kyler Murray. You knew about his speed, about his running ability. He ran it 78 times last year in 24. Brock Purdy ran it 66 times, 5 touchdowns. So you might not think of him running the ball as much or as close to Kyler Murray, but, you know, that it's something you'll have to contend with, assuming that he plays on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, two different kind of runners, two different kind of running, you know, quarterbacks. You know, and you got to defend these guys, because that's pretty much what you see every week. You know, when you look at it, it's not any – you know, the guys that just sit back there now, you got guys that's got, you know, ability to move around, and as you rush them, and you got to sit down and have a good rush plan. And the thing for us was we didn't, you know, you watch the tape on Kyler Murray. He got a lot of his escape lanes. They would come up the middle some, you know, because they would open up and give him a lane. And I think one of the things that, you know, Coach Staley did and all of us and Jay, you know, we got our heads together and we sit down and, you know, came up with a good rush plan to try to keep this guy in the pocket and try to push the middle of the pocket to force him out to where the speed is, not let him run up inside. That was one of the things that we really kind of focused on to try to make to try to keep him in the pocket.
Well, Coach, you got a couple old codgers and Bobby Hebert and myself. I covered LSU when you played for Mike Archer and Curly Holman, so I really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight, talking about your players, talking about the future. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. That's defensive line coach Bo Davis. Bobby, as always, I appreciate it, my friend. Great job.
All right, Hoss. Yeah, got to come away with a win. I don't care if it's an ugly win.
There ain't no sense.
and I don't care who plays for the 49ers. Oh, well, they didn't have all hands on that. So what? It does matter. When you play a team, it does matter and who's available. Yeah. All I know is I'd rather play Mac Jones than Brock Purdy.
Nope. You think? Well yeah. Said. I'm going to write that one down. Thank you, Bobby. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mike Tatelier. Talk about Monday Night Football, the NFC South. This is The Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Hoss. As we go back to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, Mike Dettelier, college and pro analyst tonight, Monday Night Football, Chicago, Soldier Field against Minnesota, Caleb Williams against J.J. McCarthy, who had to wait a year to get onto the field. Really, though, it's kind of a really for us, at least a little bit. Ben Johnson, new head coach of Chicago, Chicago's defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, their OC, Declan Doyle, a couple of former Saints. So a lot to watch tonight.
Question, Mike, and think about J.J., you know, he gets drafted, didn't take one snap, practice or in a game last year. And, you know, you watch what we watch with Sam Darnold, and he was great last year for the Vikings. It sort of trailed off at the end, but he was terrific. I think they got a superb young head coach, great scheme. And, man, when I get to throw the football to Justin Jefferson, it makes it a little bit easier in life for me. So, yeah, it's an intriguing game, and also to the progression of Caleb Williams and his maturity level, too. How he handles all this under Ben Johnson, who has never been a head coach at any level, never. And how you handle the big room. Mike, we've seen it. Guys that are terrific assistant coaches or coordinators, not necessarily the greatest coach, head coaches in playing to the big room. But, boy, they've assembled some talent on offense for Caleb. He can't screw this up. He can't mess it up this year.
So let's talk about the NFC South. Tampa goes into Atlanta. They win. Jacksonville beat Carolina. Carolina 0-1. But, man, you know, special teams and these kickers, we saw the Blake Groupie miss. You know, Koo makes one of his field goals, but it hits the upright and goes through. And then the only reason that they can go down and tie the game is because McLaughlin misses the extra point after Tampa takes the lead. It should be 24-20. Instead, it's 23-20. And he's got a 44-yarder. And if you play golf, it is a duck slice. I mean, it starts in the middle and goes, you know, he never does that to the Saints. But, man, special teams played a huge role yesterday. Tampa escapes with that win, 23-20.
Yeah, and watching that game again is to watch the ebb and flow of it. One, I thought Michael Penix really played well, really threw the football extremely well. They bogged down sometimes on third down attempts, and he was getting some heat on him also. But, man, the kicking game for both teams, man, it was a coin flip for McLaughlin. And if I'm them, I'm looking for another kicker. Now, Koo is you almost to that edge with him. He didn't kick well last year.
Yeah, you're right.
He did not kick well. And so now this is sort of a carryover from last year. And, boy, Baker Mayfield, man, he got the guts of a burglar. And the impact of the rookie, Amika Buka, man, he was running free downfield. He was running away from the Falcons cornerback. So big win for them, and it won't be long before they get back their left tackle. And Tristan Wirfs, they're going to be getting him back. I think that's the big advantage. They have the more experience at quarterback. They got skilled players. They play solid on defense. I can't tell you about Atlanta one way or another. And the Panthers yesterday, they got knocked out by the Jacksonville. And, man, Jacksonville, Leon Combe does a great job coaching on the offensive side of football. He put Trevor Lawrence in some good spots. And you would have expected on the reverse for the touchdown, okay, to flip it to the receiver to have been Travis Hunter. Huh, nope. Brian Thomas Jr. Ryan gets it. Man, you could see he saw that hole. He just ran right through it. They got some talent on Jacksonville's team, and they took it to Carolina. Really did. And defensively, they loaded with a lot of early-round picks, Mike. Somebody can press the right button on there. Jacksonville might have something.
Well, I wanted to ask Coach Moore when we had him. Didn't have time because Brock Purdy throws that touchdown to Jake Tonjes. Now, when it leaves his hand, I'm going, oh, that's picked off. I mean, it should have been picked off. I mean, they, you know, he throws that thing up and it ends up coming down to Jake, but only because he went out and got it. Seattle just didn't make a very good play. But, man, when you see your quarterback make that throw at that point, at that situation – woof, they got away with it.
Yeah, they did. That was a tough, tough football game between two teams that they don't really care too much for one another. But, man, they slugged it out. And Seattle's going to be a problem. Taking a look at that, it was not a real good day for Sam Darnold. But they got some talent on defense. They can run the football pretty well. And they got some skill guys out on the edge. Just got to come together for Darnold, but, man, watching that game, I really thought Seattle was going to end up with a W.
Yeah.
And then to see what Brock Purdy did at the end, but this MASH unit that they coming into New Orleans with, it gives the Saints an opportunity. I tell this to Bob all the time. It's not who you play, but when you play them.
So Christian
McCaffrey, now
right,
you got it.
Yeah. But so Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be the guy that probably played the least. 22 carries, 69 yards, 9 receptions. So he touched it 31 times. When you got Christian McCaffrey touching it 31 times, you're going to be in most football games.
Yeah, you will. And, Hoss, go back to the games the Saints have played against McCaffrey. If it's been against the 49ers or the Panthers, where he has hurt them, not so much running it, catching it. How do you match up against McCaffrey when he gets out in the flat? That has been a major issue for the Saints. Doesn't matter if he was in Carolina or San Francisco. At least you won't have to worry about Kittle this week.
That is true. That hamstring situation will keep him out. We'll find a lot more Wednesday. As always, Mike, we appreciate your time, appreciate your insight.
Thank you, Hoss.
Mike Dettillier, Bobby Hebert. I want to thank Charlie Long in the booth, head coach for the Saints, Kellen Moore, the assistant coach, Bo Davis, Bobby Hebert, and again, Mike Dettillier from the Silver Slipper. We will see you same time next week right here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.